So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at worship and various elements of it. But today, a focus on music and music in worship dates back thousands of years. And it's there in just about every culture, because music is something that just really expresses the soul, isn't it? So when we're talking about music, we talk about maybe just the instruments themselves, or it can also be vocal, because that's an instrument that God created, is our voice. So we look at music. It's an integral part of our service. You notice that we start and we end the worship service with music, and then it's just intermingled throughout various places. And it sets the stage for worship. Music styles vary between cultures and subcultures and between generations, so that music that was around 2,000 years ago is different from music now. And even music now is different from church to church. And music has a way of, it can bind us together. We even sing, there's a hymn, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together." Or it can create an incredible amount of disunity. And the past 30 years in the church in America has been what some people, and pastors and others, will call the worship wars. And it revolves around music styles, and where sometimes big changes come to a church, and people say, "That's not my style, and I just can't listen to that type of music." And it creates tension, disunity. So music is very personal. And when something is maybe ripped out from under us that is so personal, integral part of our worship, it creates tension. We find in Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, that we're encouraged to sing and to play instruments to God. We're called to do that. It's our calling. And we're commanded to do that, because God commands us to do the good things for us, because we don't always do them. So we have commands. And so worship through music is one of those things that God encourages, calls, and commands us to do. So music expresses the mood, doesn't it? And sets that mood. We look at this. There are instruments that can be played for worship. Now, for here, Tony's main instrument is piano. He brings in guitar also. We have an organ sitting over there that I don't think I've heard maybe once or something since we've been here, not at all. But it's not Tony's instrument of preference. So, but somebody else in the future might come and play that. They're all designed to glorify God. That's their purpose, and to set the mood for worship. Psalm 150, beautiful psalm. It's the last psalm in the Psalter. It says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His excellent greatness." So we're praising God. Then it says this, "Praise Him with trumpet sound, praise Him with lute and harp, praise Him with tambourine and dance, praise Him with strings and pipe, praise Him with sounding cymbals, praise Him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." You know, just everything in there, all the instruments they had, and everything that has breath, the voice, praise the Lord. And so part of our worship is seen through the instruments that God has given to us. And then music, the style of music, and also the words lend themselves, they're very powerful, and they lend themselves to the service to not only change the mood, but to bring us something more. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. but they're powerful. The music itself and also the words contain a power that moves us. I almost thought about asking Tony to do something, but it's his last Sunday, so I wasn't going to do it. But I'm just going to read some emotions that are here, and they're in your bulletin there as well. But I was just going to have him play the piano to fit that emotion, that mood. Because he does that at different times during the worship service, or depending upon the week, there might be a different feel because of whatever the message is going to be, or a communion often has a very different feel for the service than other Sundays, or we come to like a Good Friday service, and there's a solemn joy, but on a Good Friday service, we're singing hymns that are looking at the sorrow that caused our Lord Jesus to go and die upon the cross for us. Then we have Easter, great celebration of the risen Lord, and the church triumphant, just raising their voices and instruments playing. But you know, we think about how music and sometimes the words then can bring about either joy or express sorrow, great gratitude, or maybe remorse. Our prayers of confession and the songs that we sing around those can be of remorse. We're confessing to God. We have songs of great hope and music that it can express hope or bring despair with it. We think about how music can bring peace to our souls. King David, kind of one of the first things on the scene for him was playing music. He wasn't king yet, and he played music for the king that was present at that time, the first king of Israel, Saul. And Saul would go into deep depression, and David would play music for him, and it would bring peace to his soul. Music can express love, or at times hate, contentment, or a dissatisfaction of the soul. It can bring an excitement or a dullness. You think about all the different expressions of music that we have, ranging from classical, or got country western, rock, rap, and just kind of everything in between, all the different expressions, different styles of music. Some of those, I mentioned the type of music, some of you are going, you know, I like that. Or rhythm and blues, you know, blues, or jazz. You might say, I like that. Or you might go, that's not my thing. You know? For me, I can enjoy all of these, except I just don't get rap. It's just not my thing. Now, other people might really like it. I mean, even Christian rap. I mean, the words I really like, but it doesn't move my soul. But maybe someday it will. God can always expand our horizons. Because what we're seeking to do with music is to glorify God. All that we do here with music is to bring us into God's presence and to glorify Him. But with that comes a responsibility. And sometimes a fine line between leading worship and manipulating people in the midst of it. Now, perhaps you could say all leadership and all communication is a form of manipulation or has some of that in there. But when I use the word manipulation, I'm using it in a very negative way, that you're manipulated to do something you wouldn't normally want to do, or you're manipulated into something that has some bad ends. So sometimes when I watch TV and I can see some of the televangelists and the way that they're using music, and it always seems to be, at least in my mind, that it's their plea for you to pledge money to them. To me, that's manipulation. What they're trying to do is to get you to give to them so they can live their lifestyle. In worship, we're trying to lead in such a way that draws us into the presence of God. And so the music, Tony usually tries to be kind of a little bit in the background on the stuff. So he's trying to lead the congregation so that our voices are praising God. It's not drowned out. I've been in worship services where the big praise band is playing so loud, you can't hear the people sing. You can't even hear yourself sing. Now, some people will really like that. And if they can worship God and praise God in the midst of that, then amen. Praise the Lord for that. But I can't. I need to hear my voice. And that's the way that Tony plays for this congregation here. So we can hear our voices singing. And there is the beauty in the instrument of the voice praising God. So we try in all aspects of worship to try to lose ourselves, put ourselves in the background, to magnify Christ and to bring into the worship service the emotions that can lead, hopefully, and not manipulate. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." There's some beautiful connections in here about music. And it's connected into God's word. And so we're to let the word of God dwell in us richly. And it says teaching and admonishing one another. So admonishing is correcting one another. Teaching and correcting in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's connected. One of the ways that we teach and correct one another is through the music. And we think about some of the great hymns that we have, or the praise songs. And some of them are just straight from Scripture. And they're teaching us spiritual truths about God that are beautiful. And with the music, it moves our soul into a presence of God that just couldn't happen in any other way. Now, every once in a while, we run across praise songs or hymns where the words are just not there. They're lacking in depth, or sometimes the theology in them is wrong. Because, you know, there's different strands of theology out there. We're Reformed theology, so we hold certain truths as we look at the sovereignty of God, the beauty of the Lord, and there are some hymns that seem to deny that and elevate our humanity. And so sometimes those hymns don't work quite right. But we look to these beautiful hymns that we have, and hopefully the tunes also, and they teach us things about God. Through singing, lifting up our voices and through the instruments, we bring our praise and our thanksgiving to God. It's expressing our souls. It's expressing joy. That's what we're to do, is to have a true, genuine joy in the Lord. And the music helps us to do that as we sing psalms straight from the Scriptures, singing the psalms, singing hymns and spiritual songs. When we do that, we're offering our thanks to God. We're praising Him for who He is. And we're declaring to others the glory of God. Because Paul says in verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We're doing that to declare to all those around us those in the community of faith, those outside of the community of faith, when we are singing praises to God, we are declaring the glory of God. I think of the time that, you know, you had Paul in prison, and what are they doing? What's he doing? And the others, the Christians, they're singing hymns to God. They're singing. And all the other people around them are probably just looking at them going, what is wrong with them? How can they be in prison like us? And they're singing, praising God. It is a tremendous witness to who God is, his grace and mercy. So we come and worship. That's why we sing. Now, some of us, I put myself in this category, our voices aren't all that beautiful. We don't sing in the right key. The wrong notes are here and there. You know, and that's okay. God does not say, sing with a perfect voice. It's his heart, the heart. It's what God wants. That's why I like our choir. I can be in our choir. I am. You know, there's no tryouts. That's a plug. Choir will be starting up in September, so if you'd like to join the choir, you're not going to be embarrassed by having an audition. But we come, we sing, and some of us don't read music. We just kind of understand that those little dots on the page go up and down, so our voice is supposed to go up and down with it. Might not hit the right note, but it goes up and down. So we're declaring God's glory. That's what it's all about. And I just kind of say about our choir, the thing that's so much fun about it is sometimes during the rehearsals, it's been Thursday nights for the past couple of years, it just is not coming together at all. And we're just wondering as a choir, is it going to come together? Are our voices going to blend? Are we going to hit the right notes? Sometimes they're a little bit tricky for some of us who are not musically inclined. And then Sunday morning, we go in the back room here and run through it at least once. Leah will say if we do it right the first time, she's not going to have us go through a second time. Don't want to, you know, somehow blow it. But we might have to go through it a couple times. We still might not have it just right. But the weird thing about it, even, and it's not because of me, but before I was in the choir, I would be just listening to it, and I would notice that when the choir piece then is sung in here, just about every time, it's the best we've ever done. And it just seems to come together. God does that. God is good. God does that. And, you know, we don't pretend to be a professional choir and have these great voices. But you know what? I think for a church our size, and for the number of people in the choir, I think it's a pretty good sounding choir.
Amen.
Amen. So join the choir. Have some fun. Lift up your voice and praise God. So when we sing songs to God, we are declaring great truths about God. We're offering our thanks and our praise to God, and we're declaring to all others around us the glory of God. We're told to sing to the Lord a new song. I gave you a list of scripture verses that have that phrase in there. And let me just read a few of these verses for you. And I won't give the reference, I'll just read the separate ones here. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. I want you to notice the variety here of how we sing a new song. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon the 10-stringed harp, I will play to you. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastland and all inhabitants. Then we come to Revelation. It says, they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed your people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And in Revelation 14, they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So in all those things, it's a new song springing forth. And what does that mean? I think it means that God wants for his people to continue to make new songs, write new songs from our experiences of God doing great and marvelous things, and to express that in the variety of ways that we can, whether it be just through instruments or through voice also, the different styles of music, and to express that and to declare to all the earth God's great glory. And so we make new songs. And we don't even have to be skilled like Tony to do songs, to write songs. I've written songs that I've used to praise God, and I can truly say that they're probably some of the worst songs that have been written in this world, but from my heart, they are an offering of praise to God that he accepts and delights in. And so if you, even to tunes that you know, just come up with new words for them, or if you just start humming a melody that you're just kind of making up as you go along, but you're doing it as praise to God, there's a new song that you're making to the Lord. So God calls us to sing a new song to him. I think that what it also means by singing a new song is that we are being recreated by God, by his mercy every day, so that even the songs that we have been singing forever are recreated. They are new for us. They are new for us because of Lamentations chapter 3. We sang this song earlier. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. So as God's mercy is new every day, a new song, even though it's from our hymnal or our praise book, it is a new song to the Lord that we sing. Worship, we're called, we're created to worship God, to come and find deep joy and satisfaction in who God is, what God has done for us. And God has given us the tremendous gift of music so that our worship can be even more full. And God gave to Parkway for 28 years the gift of Tony and his music so that we could express our worship to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just your tremendous mercy that is new every morning. We thank you for the gift of music. We thank you for Tony. We thank you for just allowing us the privilege of worshiping you. So continue to fill us with your mercy and give us each day a new song. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.